Good morning, people of God.
Welcome this morning as we come together on this. You know, is it going to snow or isn't it? Huh? I think we're kind of on the edge. Just kind of on the edge. That's okay. There we go. That's anyway, it's good to be here as we celebrate in this time of worship together. Let me see. Okay. She in the kitchen? Okay, we'll let her say something at the end. How about that? Let's prepare our hearts. By the way, those who were here last Sunday, can you tell me? She's right there. Okay, as Kay's coming forward, what was the question that I asked you to think about for this Sunday? God's sighting. Where have you seen Jesus this past week? I'll be asking that a little bit later, so this gives you a little time to think. Okay.
Sorry about that. I was really working in there. Jeez. Then I ran. Okay. Good morning. Now, I just wanted to come up here and have a little chat. I just wanted to remind you that we've had some pretty challenging weather weeks at church. We've had the cold and the snow, and that always affects attendance. And we have had quite a few Mondays that we haven't even had church. So just be mindful that even when you're not here, all of the workings of church continue. All the employees come in, all the bills get paid, and things like that. Just something to be mindful of and remember. Okay? Thanks.
Thank you, Kay. Today, too, we will be having communion at the altar railing today. But we'll be doing communion the same way we do, whether we be in the two lines here. So you need to pick up your glass here from this and bring it with you up to the railing. And then also take your glass and put it into the holder on the either side here. So, and you can stand or kneel. That's up to you. We begin here, once again, at the baptismal font. For it's here we are reminded of who we are and to whom we belong. And we begin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well. Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. And I invite you to take a moment for your own self-examination and reflection at this time. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading for today is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The word of the Lord. And the psalmist for today is taken from Psalm 1, which we will read responsively. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. And our second reading for today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what your ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
May be seated. Let the kids come up for
good morning. Good morning. Morning, guys. Hi. Good morning. Hi, welcome up here. So, this is kind of one of those really funny ones where there's a lot of talking, and sometimes we go, "What?" Well, it's called, this verse that we just read, or this group of verses that we just read in the gospel are called the Beatitudes. Have you ever heard that word? The Beatitudes? No, you've never heard that one? I think you're going to probably talk about it in Sunday school today. But it's a pretty popular one. Like, we talk about it a lot. As you get older, we'll talk about it a lot. But what it really comes down to is that even though life can be kind of rough here on earth sometimes, it's really not about our life here on earth. Right? Jesus is talking to the people, And the people are saying, you know, we need help. And guess what he does? He helps every single one who comes to him, no matter what. He helps them right off the bat. And then he goes on to tell them, listen, you might not have a lot of food right now, but that's okay. Because when you get to heaven, you'll be full. You'll be fine. And for those who maybe have a lot, it'll even out, right? They're going to give up some of the stuff that they might have had here on earth, but then the people who didn't have enough, they're going to have more, right? But the part that I really like to focus on when I read this part is that to live like Jesus, should we share what we have? What happens if what we share is not enough? Like, let's say Sophie has 0 and you have 10, and so you share 5, but 5 is still not enough. Sophie needs at least 7. What happens then? Should you not share at all? No, we can still share, right? We should always share what we have. Just like Jesus, when the people came to him, did he say, listen, I've only got a couple miracles to go. So, you know what? No, I'm not going to share any of that at all. Did he say that to anybody? Absolutely not. He said, everybody come, everybody gets help, no matter what. And what we need to remember is that no matter how much we share, it can help while we're here on earth, but then when we get to heaven, no matter what, we will be taken care of because God will do that for us. How cool is that? That's pretty cool, I think, right? I think so. Well, let's go head back. All right. Thank you for joining me.
Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, we're glad and grateful that you have come down from the mountain and you are with us. With. And in that we are connected with you. We give you thanks for your word. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. How did you see Jesus this last week? Where did you see Jesus this last week? I want you to turn to someone. Actually, it would be all really great if you turned to someone that is maybe someone that maybe you don't know so well. Actually, want you and feel free to move around. Go ahead and do it. Where have you seen Jesus this week? I mean it. Or turn to the people next to you.
Well, my, the way you're talking, you must have saw Jesus all over the place this week. Everywhere. We're just a few people. Anybody would like to share? Where have you seen Jesus this week? Yes, right.
Out on the
what? Oh, out on the roads. Okay. Watching over us as we traveled this last week? Yeah. Yeah.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. You see him everywhere. Okay.
There's probably angels all over Menominee helping their
neighbors. Yeah, you know what? I have seen a number of people with shovels that can you're walking down the street and you know what they're doing is they're just stopping by and shoveling out, yeah.
Beautiful scenery.
You see the beauty of the, even though we complain about the snow, it's really pretty, isn't it? It is. It's really pretty. Yeah. But I can get over that. Been on council for a year, and you see it through the council members all the time. Yes, Lorraine.
At Autumn Village, a pastor came. I didn't get to church because of the sidewalk.
I noticed that. I just want you to know. I noticed that.
We have a book that has hymns from all.
Yep. Very good. Love. Wonderful. One more?
I see him shining down from our ceiling.
You see? Yeah, we can see now. We can see now. It's brightened up our space here. Yeah. Well, I think what we need to do is just to make always ourselves be aware of letting ourselves see and look to find, to see how Jesus works and moves among us. And what's really wonderful is to know that we are free to do that. We just celebrated Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday last month, and he has made many famous speeches. How many of you here remember his "I Have a Dream" speech? Remember hearing that? He ends that speech with free indeed, thank God, I'm free indeed." And I think about that being the promise of for us as followers of Jesus, that we are freed, and we are connected. We are connected. When we stand at the empty tomb on Easter Sunday, we realize that we're freed. Because of the resurrection, we are truly freed. We say that and we know that. It's an entirely different thing to live that reality, to live that we're really free. Things get in the way. So we need reminders. Hey, and you know what? One of those reminders are something that we do each Sunday and we do at least once in a person's life. And that we share the sacraments. They are reminders of God's grace and God comes to free. Say, in fact, hey, Sam.
Yes.
Can I use you for a second? Why don't you stand up there, because I want people to hear you.
Okay.
For the last number of weeks, we've been talking about the sacraments in confirmation. And we started out talking about baptism. And we talked the last few weeks about Holy Communion. And about those things being
a reminder of God's presence with us. Now, Sam, here's the test. He's looking at me funny. Now, can you remember the three things that need to be present for a sacrament?
A promise.
That's right, a promise.
A command.
A command.
And an element.
And an element. An earthy element. Okay, now, in Holy Baptism, can you say what's the promise?
The promise is life.
And what's the command?
The command is to go and serve God.
Close enough.
Close enough.
Go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I command, which is to serve God. Okay. And the element is?
Water.
Water. Okay. Now, in Holy Communion, what's the command?
The command is to... Do this in remembrance of me.
What was that?
Do this in remembrance
of me. Do this in remembrance of me. What's the promise?
The promise is...
Yeah. What?
To forgive
them. They know it too. And what's the elements?
The elements is the wine and the bread.
Yeah, thank you. Very good. Thank you, Sam. Hey, let's... It's important to remember those things which are a normal and ordinary part of our rhythm of our lives, to help us to remember that we are freed. We are freed and given life. And the sacraments are a true sign and a reality of that, because they're means of God's grace. You know, we're freed. We're freed from the power that death has over us, the power that sin has over us. But also, as in our gospel text today, we are reminded too that we are freed from something, but we're also freed for something. We are freed for something. We have in our gospel text the Luke version of the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew's. This is called Sermon on the Plain, is what we call it. And the thing is, we're reminded of this text that we are blessed to be a blessing, that we are loved to both love the unlovable and the unloving in word and deed. There's an important word, and I want you to take a look at your bulletins here. I didn't bring mine up either, but I believe it's in the very first sentence, the very first verse. There's a very important word, and that word is with. Do you see that word? The very first verse of the gospel text. And Jesus came down with his disciples and entered in and was with and doing all the things, healing, casting out demons, the whole shebang, with. We are challenged also to be with. I've asked you, where do you see Jesus? You see him around, and Jesus is seen through you. We're challenged to love and to bless. The words of Jesus that are contained in the gospel reading today clearly tell us that we are to widen our borders of giving. In fact, Jesus is telling us to break down the borders of our giving and blessing. Generosity was something that should flow freely and without restrictions from the loving heart that was filled with gratitude to a gracious God who supplied mercy and grace was never ending. In the place where I used to live by Pelican Rapids, they grew a lot of potatoes around in that area. And you know what they did when they harvested the potatoes, you know, they dig it up. But there was always some that was kind of left out there. And people were invited to come and pick it. Anybody, do you know what the word is for that? What? Gleaning. The word is called gleaning. And that's really a very biblical practice. People, those who were invited to plant, but also to know that their blessing is to be a blessing to others, so that others who might come by and grab as they're needed, maybe a neighbor, maybe a traveler on the road, to glean from the blessing. So that you might be a blessing. By doing this, it is a reminder for God's people, for you and for me, that we are more than mere caretakers of what God's given us, but that we are to be generous in our giving in the first place. Those who planted the fields, it wasn't necessarily a supply that they owned. Rather, they tapped into God's grace that flowed without end. That's also how God asks us to show generosity, that others might glean from us. God invites us to be creative in our loving and blessing. And the invitation is not an example of being used or abused by people. I've been used. I've been abused by people. But that's the risk of loving, isn't it? Do you ever notice that the risk of loving is there's the risk of not being loved back? This example is not. This invitation is not an example of being used or abused, but instead it's an example of responding in such a way to a person that our action caused other people to think about what he or she said or done. Let me see if I can put a little clarity on that with a story. There's a story of a Chinese farmer who was a Christian. He farmed in the hills, the side of a hill, along with other farmers. And one of the most difficult tasks that the farmer had was to irrigate his crop. Now, if you imagine on the side of a hill or kind of up a mountain, kind of probably a terrace type of thing, he had to carry water from the lake below the hill up to his land. The farmer who owned the land below the Christian farmer was not a Christian. And he made life for the Christian almost unbearable. Because whenever the Christian farmer irrigated his land, the non-Christian would knock down the dam separating their land and the water would flow down and irrigate his land. Now the Christian farmer wanted to be a good Christian, would swallow his anger and not say anything. As time went on, however, the behavior of the non-Christian farmer didn't change the Christian behavior to harbor hard feelings, and hatred began to grow in him. Now, the Christian thought that the solution to the problem was in his neighbor becoming a Christian also. But the neighbor was unresponsive to the Christian's words. While praying about the situation, God spoke to the Christian, convicted him of his hatred, and showed him how he was to love his neighbor. Next time the Christian farmer irrigated his land, he first went and knocked down the dam between his and the other farmer's property. He then proceeded to water both properties. He did this for several weeks until the non-Christian farmer came to him
and shared with a Christian that he was giving his life to Christ because he could no longer stand against a God who could inspire such love in a man. An attitude change and an understanding of the freedom that is ours in Jesus Christ changed the situation and created a miracle. Now I wonder what those things could be in our lives. You know, God's not stingy. God's generous. And the cross is a sign that God is a God of abundance. Abundant love, abundant commitment, abundant everything. May we be vehicles, conduits of that love. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able. We profess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
united as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Raise up faithful leaders to proclaim the gospel. Guide us in the ways of love. Empower us in ministry and service, Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for the earth. Bless deserts and canyons, farmlands and vineyards. Bring sufficient rainfall to lands parched by drought, and restore places scorched by fire. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for the nations. Grant wisdom to our elected leaders for the sake of the common good. Give courage to those who suffer persecution. Give patience and perseverance to those who work to bring an end to injustice. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for those in need. For those who do not have enough food. For those who lack money. For those who are estranged from their families. For those who worry about many things. Comfort those who mourn. Heal and strengthen those who are sick. Especially today we remember Ron, Sue, Ann, Kathy, Phyllis, Lexan, Kevin, Eric, Sean, Ann, Libby, Joel, Owen, Bryce, Leo, Sam, and all those that we name in our hearts, Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
For this assembly, for newcomers, visitors, longtime members, and those who are absent from us today, root us deeply in your word and increase our faith, Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died. Especially, we remember Don and Glenn. Encourage us by their example and lead us in faith until we are united at your unending feast. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you. Let us share that with one another. Receive the morning offering at this time.
Thank you.
God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hill, we're gathered together to become one bread. So let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, it's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When the meal had ended, he took the cup. He had given thanks, he gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, it's shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remember us in your kingdom, O Lord, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus is the host. Invite you to come. So come and eat. It's been set for you. invite you to stand as you're able. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord. Amen. Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our ascending song, Blessed Assurance. Be seated. I want to highlight a couple of things. Next Sunday, Lutheran Campus Ministry will be here leading worship, so we look forward to having the LCM students here with us next Sunday. Also, there's community assistance that are needed for March. Please sign up on the sign-up sheet. And let me see. Empty Bowls is March 2nd. Please make sure that you take a look. That's a fundraiser for Stepping Stones. Also on March 2nd is the day which I and a few others will be going to do an introduction to Stephen's ministry. So if you'd like to kind of just go check it out, there's no commitment or anything like that, let me know. Yes, sir, Dan. Go ahead.
It's me again.
It's Dan again. Okay, and while Dan's making his way up there, also would like to just to highlight the kind of the thank you for the Super Bowl with a noisy offering. $160 was and was raised in 345 food items, and you know the overtime, it was a hard fought game.
I didn't think you could call overtime just because you didn't like the score.
I don't know, the fourth score the first Sunday, you looked pretty even. So. Anyway, yes, Dan, go ahead.
I didn't think I would have to bore folks again today, but this is very important because in our web workshop next weekend, we're going to begin live as part of the training to change the structure of the main menu across the top of our website a little bit, and I wanted to warn folks about this. The drop-downs will, more and more of them will be under the header, and the header will not be a clickable link. We think this is easier for most people to follow because they don't have to wonder, should I click the top thing or something else? In the meantime, we certainly want to listen to any suggestions you might have about things you might think make the website would make the website easier for you to use. So I just wanted to kind of warn people about this. This will not take place until next week, but it will be a bit of a change for those of you that are used to using the menu across the top of our website. And after next week's session, we'll probably give Jane a little bit of an announcement for the bulletin to send you to where we have some explanations for you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. Any other things that need to be lifted up? Yes, Jerry.
I have one footnote to add to that Super Bowl. I took it down last week, and it was discovered that the Packer fans actually inadvertently put their offering in the little card out in front, so if we'd had that on our table, we'd have...
Packers, you've got to be kidding.
I think that's fake news.
Those tables were blatantly obvious. People, come on.
But do our part, man. That's right. That's wonderful. Anyway, thank you for your generosity.
I do have one quick announcement. So it's kind of last minute, so that's why I'm standing up to point it out. In the CLC Youth News on that last page, or one of those last pages, you'll see it's a short notice. This coming Saturday, we've been given the opportunity to actually do a fundraiser for ourselves by selling goodies at the Cub Scout Pinewood Derby. It's this Saturday from 9 till 1, I think. But we need donations of food.
Baked goods?
Yeah, baked goods. Things that are easily done in, like, single serving so that we can say, like, 50 cents and they, you know, a brownie square, Rice Krispie squares, stuff like that, that you can, you know, single serving kind of things. So if you can donate, baklava would be wonderful. That might not get sold.
Oop. It might disappear beforehand. Any other things? Yes, Nancy. What? Okay. Well, you know what time it is. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.